dismissing that. Brother Weaver's going to come. He's going to preach here in just a moment. And I don't know most of these girls, but I do know one or two of them just a little bit. And Davina, I was thinking about your mom and dad. And precious, precious people of God. That's David and Robin Fox's daughter, just in case you've not made that connection. And I had no idea you could sing like that. Wow. And I'm telling you, I'm so excited to go up and be with Becca's father and to get to meet this dear man of God. Anybody that raises a family like that's got to have the touch of God on them, friends. That's the church that our teenagers are going to help in this mission trip that we're leaving on next Saturday. It's to go to help their father, to be a blessing to him. It's been good tonight. Whether you realize it or not, God's been here. Amen. He's inside us. We know that. But I'm talking about his presence tonight. We give God the praise for it. And tell your pastor that we're honored that you've come by. I mean that. We love him. Appreciate him. And we're glad that Brother Weaver's here. He's going to come open the Word of God, preach for us. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much, Pastor. It's a great, great honor. And I'm delighted to be here and honored to be able to preach. I know we've had a lot of singing, and people are probably wondering, is that guy long-winded? Well, typically no. Typically no. But I did hear about the Baptist preacher that he got up. It was like tonight. It was going on 7:30, you know, and he said, I'll just preach briefly. And so we began to preach. 7:30 became 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock became 9. 9 o'clock became 9:30. And about 10 to 10, a fellow sitting about where you're sitting just had all he could take. And he got up and started walking out. And the preacher said, hey, what do you think you're doing? The guy said, I'm going home, man. I got to go to work tomorrow. I'm going home. The preacher said, you can't do that. That's rude. And the fellow said, you talk about rude. You said you were just going to preach a little bit, a little while, and here it is, almost 10 o'clock. I'm going home. And it made the preacher mad. And he said, well, where do you think you're going then? The guy said, I'm going to go get a haircut. And the preacher said, why didn't you do that before church? The guy said, I didn't need one then. That's why. You know. And my wife and I are getting ready to celebrate our 48th wedding anniversary. I think I told you that. I did. I met her on a blind date down at Tennessee Temple. And it was the end of my junior year. I was working for Sears downtown Chattanooga selling shoes. And a good friend of mine, he and I had sung in a quartet together. He called me and said, Toby, let's double date tonight. I said, I can't, Greg. I don't have a date. He said, I'll fix you up. He was married by now. And he said, I'll fix you up. And I said, uh-uh. I'd had one blind date, Brother Farmer, before that. It was a mall date, and this girl was 6'5½". It's amazing. And she wasn't supposed to, but she kept trying to hold my hand, you know, so we were walking around the mall sort of like this. I said, no more of that slop. I'm not going to do that blind date thing ever again. But he talked me into it, and I got in my little old 63 Chevy, drove back to campus and grabbed a yearbook and saw her picture, and I said, yeah, man, that'll fly. And 11 months later, we're married, and we thank the Lord for it. And then yesterday, I celebrated my 72nd anniversary. I used to think if you were 72 years old, that was old. It's old, man. It's old. And I celebrated 72 years yesterday, and thank the Lord for it. And I'll say a bit about some decisions that I've made along the way. But I heard about these four elderly ladies. They were in their 90s. And they were on a trip going through Southwest Virginia coming into Tennessee. They decided to take the back roads and stuff, you know. It was four of them. And the one that was the most elderly was the one who was driving. She was 93 or 94. And she was doing 18 miles an hour up in the mountains, you know, 18 miles an hour. And a Tennessee State patrolman pulled her over. And he came to the window and he said, ma'am, I don't need to see your license and your insurance and all that. But he said, I don't want to give you a ticket, but you're driving way too slow. You're impeding traffic. And she said, well, I'm doing the speed limit. And he said, pardon me? She said, 18 miles an hour. It says right there, 18. He said, no, ma'am, that's State Highway 18. And she said, oh. And he looked at the other ladies, and the other ladies were white as sheets. And they were trembling, And he said, "And how about your friends? What's wrong here?" And she said, "Well, officer, we just got off of State Road 132. That's a bad day, man. I'm telling you, that's a bad, bad day. At any rate, it's a great joy to be here tonight and to be in pastor's pulpit. I don't take it lightly, and I thank the Lord for it. If you have your Bible tonight, Psalm 101, please. Psalm 101. We pray for three things on the road. We pray for safety, and God has given us safety. Please pray that we'll continue to be safe and observant and kind and not too much road rage and stuff, you know. We pray for safety, and God has kept us safe. It's very important. I think about the Crown Group from time to time, and I knew those young people down there. They had gone to school with Todd and Joey, and we knew some of them. And then we pray for souls, and God has allowed us to see some people saved this summer. We thank the Lord for that. Then we pray for students. Pray for young people that will come by faith, and we're trusting the Lord with all that. So continue to pray for us, if you would, please. Gabby, do you have your tissues with you again? I've got this runny nose, and Gabby is a tissue lady. Thank you very much. Thank you. Gabby's dating Dr. David Gibbs' grandson, and I am so tired of hearing Matthew. I am so sick of... I'm just kidding. It's okay, Gabby. Just don't go elope up in Las Vegas or somewhere. I'll be very upset with you if you do that. Psalm 101, verse 1. David writes, "I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing." We got here early and the choir was practicing. You got a good choir. And I don't know the choir director, but that guy's plugged in, man. I mean, man, I'd sing for him. I watched him cracking that whip and everything, you know. But the choir was really singing. With passion, and I just enjoyed listening to choir practice, and I appreciate that, and the way we've sung tonight. And David knew something about singing. He liked to sing. He wrote a lot of songs, played that harp thing, you know, and he hung around sheep. And I like the young man David here. He said, "I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord. Will I sing? I will behave myself wisely, in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect or a mature heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer." I recently made several decisions thinking about getting older. And I want to talk to the older folks tonight because it's cool getting old. We're still here. And we ain't dead. And I'm smarter now than I was when I was 22. Okay? And then I'd like to ask the teenagers to show, and I know you do, but show a lot of grace. Speak to us. We're nervous about it. We're nervous about teenagers. You know, how you doing? You know? And for the most part, everywhere I go, and even tonight I was watching young people talk to the older folks, that is so smart and wise. Please do that, because we're insecure. And we like it when young people say, hey, how you doing, old man? We like it when young people, hey, nice to see you. We like that a lot. And we like it when we speak to young people and they say, hey. And so is it okay to talk like that in church? Okay, I mean, it's church, we can be honest, right? And so let's show grace one to another. I can't help getting older, but I love young people. And older people really love young people. And we sometimes wish we were younger, but we're older. But help us out. And let's be together on this as I get into the message. So if you're a teenager, just say amen. Teenagers, all teenagers. Amen. Say it. Louder. There you go. Good for you. And if you're an old person, if you can hear me, you say, "Oh me." There you go. Good, 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 good. Amen. Okay, so we're rolling along here, doing pretty good. And so a couple of months ago, I was under the weather a bit, and I missed 2 or 3 weeks of work. And I sat in my garage, and I read a lot of the Bible, and I read a lot of the Bible. And I decided to take a few notes in my Bible, and I put down at the bottom of my page, numbered days demand focus lives. Now, I'm even talking to teenagers because none of us have, we don't have tomorrow promised at all. Yesterday's gone. We do have today. We know we got today, but we don't know about tomorrow. I have no idea about tomorrow. I know I got right now. I'm going to squeeze the daylights out of it. I'm going to relish the moment. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow, I don't know about it. And so, young people, help your parents. Laugh at home. If your dad says something that he thinks funny, humor him. Laugh. Okay? Walk up to your mama and hug your mama. Mama, I love you. Let's just have a revival of that. And then dads and moms, let's shut the computer thing and the phone and the TV thing, and let's enjoy mealtime together. Let's laugh. Let's talk again. And numbered days, it just demands us to become focused. Now, I love this church, and I want this church to perpetuate and even grow greater. And you got a great crowd tonight. This is an unusual spirit in this church. We're in hundreds of churches, and I love walking in here because something is going on here. The fire is lit. Fire is lit. So fan the fire. Fan the flame. And so I sat in my garage, and I made some decisions, and I read especially the Psalms. I like David a lot. I like him because he likes music. I can't sing worth a hoot. At Temple, I wanted to be a voice minor. So I go in there, and they got these 8 voice teachers, and they all can sing like crazy. And I thought I could. And so Dr. Weigel, remember Dr. Weigel? No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Well, he was my friend. He was 96 years old my freshman year, and I knocked on his door in the old Weigel Music Center, and I said, Dr. Weigel. And he called me Tony. Oh, hello, Tony. I said, hello, Dr. Weigel. I said, I'm getting ready to go down there, and I'm going to audition to be a music minor. And he said, well, I'm praying for you. I said, all right, thank you. And I was nervous and scared. And I got down there in front of all them people, you know. And Mrs. Herman says, you have your Italian aria. I said, my what? Italian aria. And I didn't know what that was. Still really don't. But she put this music in front of me and went through it a time or two. She said, now sing that. And I got real scared. Real scared. When I get scared and nervous, my voice gets real high. And so Danny and I start going, caro mio ben. It was in Italian. Senza Dio mio. And they started laughing. They were rolling. They were dying. They were, and it hurt my feelings. And so I got done, and Mrs. Herman stepped out in the hall, and she said, Toby, you're a nice young man, but pursue something else. And so I went down to Dr. Weigel's. I knocked on his door, and I was crying, man. I let Dr. Weigel down, you know, I was crying. And he opens the door. He said, you didn't make it, did you? I said, I didn't even come close, man. And he said, we got a lot of chapels around Chattanooga. Got 50 branch churches all around Chattanooga. He said, get in one of them, lead singing. Just do it. And he sure helped me. And I remember when he went to the hospital, he was dying. And I loved him. And I borrowed a car and went over there to Campbell's Clinic. He was 96 years old. He's going to heaven. And he had promised me he was going to watch me graduate. He'd have to live to be 100, you know. And I went over there, and I kind of snuck off campus and went over there where he was and went to his room. And he said, you're not supposed to be here. I said, I can't help it, Dr. Weigel. I was crying. I'm always crying, you know. So I couldn't help it, Dr. Weigel. I wanted to see you. He said, well, I'm glad you came by because I'm going home. I said, good, get your stuff, man. I got a car out there. He said, no, I'm going home. I said, you can't do that. You told me you'd stay for my graduation. He said, I lied. He went to heaven. I think it's time for the church to wake up, great churches to really wake up. Wake up. And I wish I'd made some of these decisions, and I'm sure I've made some of these along the way, but I want to give you three, just tonight briefly, 3 key words that I think will encourage us in the Lord. And we all need to be encouraged. Encouragement is the spiritual oxygen of the soul. And everybody can be encouraging. We've come in, I meet people helping us and bringing things in, holding the door and being kind to us. I'm so encouraged, people coming by and just encouraging us. And that's the way church ought to be. That's the way it ought to be at the house when we go home tonight too. Okay. So let's listen to these words. And when I was reading this, this thought hit me. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he's getting ready to send them out. In just a few minutes, we're going to go out. We're going to go out the doors. We're going to go out. Some of you are going to go to work tomorrow. You're going to hear God's name taken in vain. You're going to hear dirty language. You're going to hear us cussing and all kind of stuff tomorrow at work. I won't hear that tomorrow. I'm around godly people all the time. My wife's godly. And I don't have to put up with that. And you're going to go out in just a few minutes. And when Jesus was talking to the disciples, here's what he told his disciples about this in particular. He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." So tomorrow, we need wisdom. We need great wisdom. We need wisdom in a culture that is so unwise, it's beyond belief. And I'm not going to belabor that and beat it all to pieces, but everybody in this room knows our culture is whacked, completely whacked. It's just mind-boggling for those of us that are older, where we came from, my dad being a World War II disabled vet, captured in the Battle of the Bulge, and what he stood for and how he stood for it, and his discipline and his character, and what he taught me as a kid, even though he was very disabled and very emotionally and physically scarred from World War II. Those days are gone. But we have today. We may not have tomorrow. And since I have today, and God may give me tomorrow, I really want tomorrow to count. I really want it to count. Because numbered days demand focused lives. It demands. And let's just get focused for a few minutes here. Let's focus. And thank you for listening so well, but let's just get focused just for a few moments. David said, let's look at verse 2 again, chapter 101 of the book of Psalms, in verse number 2, Psalm 101, verse number 2. "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way." I think what he's saying there is, I'm going to be unusually dedicated. Not just dedicated, unusually dedicated. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. Let's don't be usually dedicated. Let's become unusually dedicated. You hear on Sunday night, this is the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church right here. This is the heartbeat of the church, the Sunday night crowd. This is the heartbeat of the church. You love the Lord, you love the preacher, you love your church, you're here. This is the heartbeat. And so we're the family of God here. And so let's step back and let's decide, I'm going to be unusually dedicated. A number of years ago, I was invited to preach at the Bible Baptist Church in Victorville, California. I was preaching a missions conference for a good friend of mine, Bob Counts, and I had some time, and I was sitting in Taco Bell eating my taco and drinking my Coke and reading my Bible, getting ready for church, and a young man came in on a skateboard. He was dressed totally in black. His hair was yellow and blue, and it was doing this kind of thing. He had piercings everywhere. He had tattoos from the top to the bottom, black old trench coat, and he was on his skateboard, and he was good. He was a good skateboarder. Came in the Taco Bell. And I'm sitting there reading my Bible, and I looked up, and I made the very tragic mistake of making eye contact with him. And he and I made eye contact, and he came over to where I was sitting, and so I kept going. And he looked at me, and he said, "What are you looking at, dude?" And I got choked up. I said, "I'm looking at you, son." And he said, "What are you going to do about it, dude?" And I said, "I'm going to give you a gospel track." I gave him a track. And he took the track, and he got to the door, and he's looking at the track, and he looked at me, and he said, "Mister!" And I said, "Yes, sir, son." He said, "You're weird, man." And he left. And sometimes I am pretty weird. And here's what I thought when he left. That guy believed in what he believed in. That guy was sold on everything he had on and his appearance, hook, line, and sinker, and he was dedicated. He was so dedicated, he wasn't afraid to come into Taco Bell on the skateboard with that appearance. And I said, well, if he can be that radical, me too. If he can be that radical, me too. Me too. And I know we're a peculiar people, and we need a lot of wisdom today. And may God give us this wisdom as we pray for wisdom and as we go into a dirty, vile world tomorrow. May God help us to be refreshingly different tomorrow. I was working for Sears in between ministries down in Brandon, Florida, and a lady came in, and I was the manager of the men's department for a brief time, and she said, this shirt is defective, I want another one. And I said, let me show you where they are, help yourself. She said, I'm a very dissatisfied customer. And I said, yes, ma'am, I see that. And I said, I'm sorry, the shirt's obviously defective. I said, why don't you get two? Well, it made her mad. She took the shirt and she went, bam, got me right across the face, knocked my glasses off, you know, I'm feeling around for my glasses. I put my glasses back on, and it choked me up, man. And I kept thinking, I wish you were a man. You know, I'd pray for you or something. And it choked me up. And I said, ma'am, I don't know what else to say to you. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm really sorry. And she said, you talk like a Christian. And I said, well, yes, ma'am, I am. And she said, I am too. And I said, they make them different from where I come from. You know. Now, sometimes even Christians can get a little ugly. Sometimes Christians can get a little bit sideways. And so let's step back, and when that happens, let's you and I not just be dedicated, but be, I mean, devotedly dedicated. Now, I can't sing like they sing, and I couldn't play that piano if you put a gun to my head, and I'm just a cornbread and beans kind of preacher, and I know it. But, buddy, I can be stinking dedicated. I can find something to be passionate about and plug in. If you're in the choir, get up there and smile. If a guy says, hold up your right hand, and whatever the choir director says to do, jump in there with both feet kicking, man, and really be dedicated. You work in the nursery. I mean, when you change that diaper, throw that baby up in the air. Have a different twist on changing the diaper, you know, in midair. Boom, I got it, and the baby goes, you know, or whatever you got to do, you know. If you're the guy vacuuming, I mean, get with it. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go, or whatever. You say, well, I'm just not that emotional. Well, you were at the ball game. You were when your team won the basketball thing. We're as emotional as we want to get. And so, well, I don't believe in all that emotion. That's because you ain't got none. And if we'll get this dedicated thing, and let my life be defined by that. Okay. Well, I'm 80. This morning we were down in a church down in Sumter, South Carolina, and a guy in the choir is 90 some years old, wasn't he, honey? 91 years old. And man, that guy was Slim Jim, and he's up there singing and getting with it, and we can do that. My life must be defined by this. It must burn within our hearts. Now, we can do this. So, number one, very quickly, David said, I will be dedicated. He said, I'll be dedicated. Look at verses 3 and 5. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will know no wicked person. I like what he's saying there, verse 5. He says, whoso privileged slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, will I not suffer. I think, number one, that David said, I'm going to be dedicated. So I sat out there in our garage, and I said, I can be dedicated. When I get well and go back to work, I'm going to be more dedicated than I've ever been. I want to dedicate myself to looking for Danny Wakefields, because I need those kind of guys on our campus. They lead dormitories. They're outspoken about right. They're outspoken about let's go soul winning. They're not afraid of the Bible. And I'm looking for more. I can't call her Becca. I've never called you Becca in my life. You're Rebecca to me. It's Rebecca Harvin. She's always been Rebecca to me. and because I think there's a dignity to that name. And that young lady has some dignity to her, a lot of dignity. And it's time that young people said, I'm going to be discerningly, there's going to be some dignity about me at the house, in your room, at school, at the table. There's going to be some dignity about me. And you have to make that decision. I can't. I'm just a guy passing through town. But you're going to have to be discerning to do that. We need to quit wasting our energy. If I'm going to waste my energy, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to drive the van. It takes a lot of energy. But we drove almost 5 hours this afternoon. Do you know how pretty it is from coming through into Tennessee on 26? Y'all know that? It's beautiful. You ought to just drive. I mean, I'm just checking it out. And it went by like 90 miles an hour, but it was pretty, what little bit I saw. I can be dedicated. I can be discerning. I see here that he has a personal denial. If we're going to be discerning, we need to become personally denying some things. Well, you're just in denial about some things. I'm in denial about looking at pornography because it pops up on my phone and my computer sometimes. And when it does, I quickly give the phone to my wife. I say, honey, you need to help me with that. Rather than linger. If I linger, I might hang around. It's not the temptation. The Bible says, and lead us not into temptation. And so, unfortunately, we go over there to the door and we mess around with the door. Don't even go to the door of temptation. Flee it. Run. Run like a scalded dog. Because if you hang around the door, you're probably going to go inside. I've got to be discerning. Personally deny the stuff that I put before mine eyes. I mean, everywhere I look today, I'm bombarded with sin. Aren't we? Okay, so there's some things on our computer, our telephone, on the TV, the screen. There's some things I've got to deny myself. A personal denial. David said, I'm not going to set that stuff before mine eyes because it affects me. Man, it does me. And if you're a red-blooded American man, it does you too. Big time. The writer of Ecclesiastes said, folly is set in great dignity. And that's where America is today. It's dignified to be living in sin. Folly is set in great dignity. Folly, just goofiness, stupidity. And we've dubbed down the Bible. We've dubbed down church. We're stepping back, and we're the stuff that we've believed and preached for decade after decade after decade after decade after decade after decade from God's very clear word, we're saying, well, maybe it really doesn't mean that. Let me help you. It means that. Amen. It says what it means, and it means what it says. If it's black, it's black. If it's white, it's white. What's the problem? The writer of Ecclesiastes 9:18 also said, one sinner destroys much good. There needs to be a personal denial and even a public departure from some things. And that's between you and the Lord. I'm just preaching. You've got to make the call. Okay? I just know very few people here, but we're going to be in heaven like this one of these days. They're going to be preaching and singing and all that good stuff. It's going to be pretty good. And then I want to say the last word. Look at verse 6, and I'm done. Verse 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. I think what he's saying here is, I'm going to be dedicated and devoted. I'm going to be discerning. I'm going to really be discerning. Because there are some things, even in my background, that if I'm not careful, I won't be discerning enough to let them go. I won't be decisive enough to cut it off, to let it go. There's some things and some things that have happened to me in ministry and life along the way that if I'm not careful, I let that eat at me. I get bitter. I get aggravated. And I look at somebody and I say, and I won't think what I should think about that person or those people. You with me on that? So what can I do? I got to let it go. I've got to have a public departure. Yeah, my own public departure party from that thing that's been causing me to stumble all over myself spiritually. a thing that grabs me and pulls me away from being what I should be for the Lord. I know what it is in my life, and I know you know what it is in your life. And so, how many years I have left, I don't know, or days, but I'm asking God for the influence that God has given me and will give me to continue doing that until the rapture or until he says that's it. Because everybody in this room has influence. You have influence. Everybody has influence. And may God use your influence out in the Buffalo Ridge area, in this great Tri-Cities area. If everybody in Tennessee is as saved as they say they are, somebody please tell me, where are they? We'd have to build another building. We'd have enough room for them. If everybody is as saved as they say they are in the South, I think the Bible Belt has lost its buckle. And it's time that God's people, and I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do except look at the Bible and say, okay, I'm going to be more dedicated than I've been. I'm going to be more discerning because sometimes things trip me up. Sometimes I got this temper I got to deal with. My wife understands that. I've got this quick to say something that I should have thought that through before I did that. And that's where that discerning thing comes in. A judgmental spirit, a bitterness about something that happened, and if we'll be dedicated and discerning, some of those things, church, will become non-essential, because I can't change what that guy said about me 15 years ago. It isn't going to change unless I change and say, look, you're forgiven. I'm not going to beat myself up with that stupid stuff anymore. I'm going to go tell somebody about the Lord. I want to go find the kid with the skateboard again. I love that boy. I want to see him saved. I do. I'm not going to shoot him down just because he has chosen that kind of lifestyle. He needs the Lord. And then I need to be decisive. I want to have a person. I want to be a kind of person. God help me. This kind of person, I will. I want to be an I will kind of person. Man, we're looking for somebody, I will. Hey, we need somebody, hey, I will. We're going to do this, hey, I got it, I will. I will. We have a thing at Lancaster Baptist, see the need, take the lead. See the need, take the lead. That comes from picking up tumbleweeds and all that kind of stuff in the desert. You know, see the need, take the lead. And we try to do that. Not only that, I want to be I can. You can't do that. Yes, I can. You mean you're going to drive 5 hours to go to church tonight? I can. I can do that. Because it's worth it. I'm going to Buffalo Ridge. Let's get with the program. I want to see Pastor Jenkins. Let's go. I want to see the farmers. Let's go. He and his 15 kids or so. And then I want to have a yes face. People are going to come into this church. I was a bus kid up in Thomas Road years and years and years ago. My little brother and I grew up in a busted, our home was busted all to pieces. Daddy was doing the best he could. He washed dishes for the Shamrock Restaurant. We never owned a car. Daddy would thumb home or walk home. We had a TV that did this the whole time. Watching Gunsmoke. You know. And we were just... It was what it was, but we could play ball. My brother and I could always play ball. We were always in trouble, but we could play ball. And we're over in Vista Acres playing ball, and a young preacher, drove his car out on the mound, his Volkswagen out on the mound. The guy, his name was Jerry Falwell. And he's just a young man. He said, nobody here can hit my fastball. I said, I can hit your fastball. Man, I go up there. So good night. I'm hacking at that thing. I couldn't hit that thing. He said, let me hit one. He hit it clean out of Campbell County. I mean, it looked like Sputnik going out in space, man. And then he said, if any of you boys will come to church with Maisel and me on Sunday, I'll give you a brand new baseball. That started it. Now, you just don't know a baseball, a ride home, a smile, a handshake. You just don't know. But we can do this. We can do this. Can I get an amen? We can do this if we'll decide these three very simple steps. It changed my life. It really did. I was ready to retire. I was ready to say, man, I'm sick. I don't feel good. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And traveling here, there, belly aching. And the Lord said, read your Bible. Just read your Bible. And sit here and be still and know that I am God. That's a good place to put yourself. Because when you're still and there's nobody but the Lord in you, you can hear him, man. You can hear him. I pray that you will. Let's bow our heads, please. Thank you so much for listening. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you've come tonight and you're not 100% sure that you're a Christian, that you're saved, that you've been to Calvary, you've trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, Pastor Jenkins is here and others who would love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. I think tonight most of us, if not all of us, are children of God. Who would say tonight, Brother Toby, the Lord has spoken to my heart tonight in some area, a deficiency, a weakness, something, and I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it. Just the Lord and me in the quietness of a moment, maybe at the altar, maybe at the house, on the way home in the car, but there's something, I'm going to fix it. I mean it with the Lord. I'm going to raise my hand to show the Lord I'm serious. Would you raise your hand all over the room? Good. A number of hands. Let's stand, please. The altar is open. Heavenly Father, if it be thy will, if folks would like to come to the altar and pray and fix things, that's between them and the Lord. The altar is open. Pastor is here. I pray that you'd bless and help us to do these things that we've learned from your word tonight in Jesus' name. Piano's playing. The altar is open. One verse or so.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Playing through softly, the Lord speaking to you, the altar's open. Before we are dismissed tonight, let me remind all those that are working in junior day camp, all the camp workers, that Daniel needs to meet with you up here in the front, over here on the organ side, right after service tonight. That'd be good. It's always good to have Preacher Lashley with us. I'm glad he's still with us. You're glad he's still here? Say amen. Somebody beside you didn't say it. Hit him in the ribs. I'm telling you, we're glad he's here. I feel led tonight to have our closing prayer for West Coast Baptist College. Dr. Paul Chappell, friend of this ministry, we're a friend of his. I don't know him that well, but I know God's using him in a great way. We give God the praise for it. Any Bible college we bring through here, that's our way of recommending it to you. And we recommend West Coast Baptist College to you. So, Preacher Lashley, I'm going to have you dismiss us in prayer. I'm going to have the group to make your way out to the lobby. Brother and Mrs. Weaver, all the singers, and the piano player, all of you. You did a beautiful job tonight. Thank you so much. God bless you. Beautiful voices, beautiful music. Buy up that music out there. Get those books out there. That'll be a good thing. Preacher Lashley, thank you, sir, for being here. Pray specifically for West Coast and Dr. Paul Chappell, sir, please.